Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
What are you chuckling at over there?
I was watching some Cameron was on CNN talking about the Diddy stuff and everything. And yeah, Cameron's probably not the guy you want on your, you know, national news broadcast speaking about, you know, Puff Daddy or Diddy. That's all I'm going to say.
That is not a good story.
No, horrible. Horrible and sickening.
That thing's been brewing a while, right?
What do you mean? Just like all the allegations?
Yeah,
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they just recently released a video of him beating up Cassie.
Yeah, yeah.
Who,
that was the one we saw over the weekend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Brent Martineau, Austin Lane, Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network. Hey, we do have the Jacksonville Armada playing this week, the women's team. So we'll have more on that coming up later this week and set that up. That'll be a 5 o'clock match time, by the way, 4:30 pregame starts, and you can check out the Armada on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network this summer, and we'll have a bunch of games still coming up. We're also going to have coming up the Old School Kingfish Tournament, it looks like, in June. So for all you folks that like fishing, that'll be a big day and usually a pretty cool event with over 600 boats, I think, or 500 boats in the water here in the Jacksonville area. And they make it a pretty cool event for everybody, not just a big boat kingfish tournament. That's the Old School Kingfish Tournament coming up. And by the way, you can register early all the way through the end of the month, May 31st. So you got a couple more weeks or 10 more days to be able to do that. What else we got coming up? Furniture Source Town Center Thursday. That's where we'll be. And then also Best Bet Jacksonville on Friday is where we'll be. So we've been at St. Augustine. This one going to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And that one will be at the Monument Road location. Good to have Rob along as we continue to shuffle in and out of folks in that booth. From Kids Corner to Kim Corner to Nick in the Daytime to Bleak Bills.
Bleak Bills, there we go. Got it, man.
Yeah, just got to get a mention in for everybody. We still don't have the hairspray caper on an update. We don't know what the latest is on that.
I mean, I was thinking more of the hairspray harlot, but yeah, the hairspray caper does just fine. To be continued. I mean, Bleak Bills, I love the nickname, but you understand what's going to happen now, dude. Like, with the latest IR injury that you've suffered, I feel like we might have to come up with something different with that golf cart then. I hope you're okay with that, Bleak Bills.
Yeah, just so you know, he's got a broken foot.
Yeah.
I wasn't the driver.
Nevertheless, you know, I mean,
maybe
I
you should have been.
Yeah, maybe you should have been.
That would have maybe worked out better.
I was the only one injured, though.
Coach Ripley.
Wait, hold on. Seriously?
Seriously.
Hey, are we going to sue somebody?
No, Bleak Bills? It's a good friend.
Ah, well, how good? So I mean, I guess good, yeah.
So what?
Have to pay for the cart.
Okay. That's fair.
Okay.
Was it your cart? Whose cart was it?
It was mine.
Oh, man. Is it at the end of an era? Do you have to like get the whole thing replaced or just...
See, I still got to get an estimate.
Oof. Sorry about that, Bleak Bills.
Tough spot.
Very tough spot.
Coach Ripley back in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
Giving some love to Dilla. Said the word on the streets, $53 million per year.
I like it.
With all due respect to Dilla, I think we've all guessed $53 million per year is going to be about the number.
Brent, you're not being a hater on it, man.
I'm not being a hater. I'm just saying $53 million is a good guess.
Well, yeah, it'd be a if
it's
I was going to guess.
The spot.
If I was going to guess, I would say the $53 million range.
Yeah. It was interesting to hear a lot of the national folks talking about the contract at Trevor, which makes it seem like it's even more on the horizon. And again, I think it's easy to slot Trevor in.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it so many times in that spot. So this maybe isn't as hard to get done as even a big contract is usually difficult to get done. And I think somebody else said, and I did this at the start of the show, there doesn't seem like a lot of like angst in these negotiations. So I think everybody's trying to get to a common ground. It does feel like it's going to get done sooner than later. Like most of these deals get done right around camp time or right before the start of the season. I actually would predict it gets done even before that. I've always actually said, hey, keep an eye on May. Now we got 10 more days.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you it's going to happen in May, but I think there's a real chance that it could happen over the next 10 days. And I'm just not surprised if I get the phone call, the alert, the whatever, like, hey, big day, Trevor's getting the deal done, you know? I mean, that wouldn't surprise me.
Who's Trevor's agent? Smaller guy or?
It's a smaller agency. Okay. And now they, in fairness, over the last 3 years, he might have, their clientele might have grown significantly. But, you know, I think as part of his agency, and I don't know if he's owns the agency or is this is his agent too, is Darius Rucker. So Darius Rucker is somehow involved here, and I can't remember exactly what. I have to look it up.
Okay.
But I don't know if the same agent that has Trevor
yeah.
has Darius Rucker, or if Rucker is actually part of the agency that owns the company.
Gotcha.
I don't know. Kind of
like
one.
Jay-Z owns the agency.
Is that, yeah, because Jay-Z's in the agency game, right?
Yeah.
The Rock, okay. Yeah, that's the Rock Nation stuff?
Correct.
So I don't know if that's the same thing, but I know there's a tie there.
Okay.
And again, his agent is based out of South Carolina, which also makes sense.
Hootie Enterprises or something.
Yeah, it's not called that, though.
So, it's a missed opportunity.
But I do think, I don't know if there's significance to what you just mentioned, and that is, well, hey, there's a smaller agency. Does that make a difference in a deal? I don't know.
Well, no, my biggest thing was, like, is he with a bigger agency, does he represent Jared Goff? Like, did you get that deal done? Because now you go from, like, okay, well, one of my clients, Jared Goff, just got paid.
It's
now
not,
it's
not,
okay.
I don't see it that way. That's the thing. Like, and again, I don't know if that's significant or not. I just don't see it's like, you know, we're so used to the agent world and the baseball world or the football world, and everybody can, like Jimmy Sexton controlling every college coach out there and a lot of the head coaches out there in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Boris in the Major League Baseball. So you work this client with this client, and you're like, I'm getting this to get this, and here you can get this done, but this chess piece and free agency. I don't think that's the case here. Now, is there a chance that they have another one of these quarterbacks? They have Brock Purdy or somebody like that? Maybe.
Yeah.
I just don't. I don't know that. I haven't really investigated that part of it. And I don't think this is an agency that's going to work in that big of a swimming pool with their clients. So, but I would imagine everybody's trying to increase their clients and in that kind of world. Or they might just try to stay small, which I have a lot of respect for that, too, if they're trying to do it. So, anyway, we'll see where it lands. Coach Ripley now trying to throw a lot of numbers at us. Simple math, 53 is the average year per year.
Said the M word.
6 years would be 318. 7 would be 371. 8 would be 424. Wow. 6, 7, 8 year deal. Not a 5 year deal. That's actually probably the most fun of this. Will it be five?
The math?
Or more? What's the over under on the years?
Oh.
Is it a 5 year deal or is it more?
Yeah, I can just give him a 5 year deal. Yeah, 5.
Or it could be a 4 year extension on top of this current deal.
Yeah.
Which would end this year.
I think everyone's doing 5 year deals, except Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. But yeah, I'll take a 5 year deal.
All right. Well, we'll see where it ends up. We had a question yesterday that I didn't mean to ignore, but I forgot about. And the question was basically whose failure was worse last year?
Okay.
The Florida Gators or the Jacksonville Jaguars? And I didn't really think it was much of an answer.
I don't think so.
I think it was a pretty easy answer because I think it was the Jags.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jags had way more expectation.
Yeah.
But the question was put in, who collapsed harder last season down the stretch, the Jags or the Gators? Who's under more pressure this year, Napier or Doug? And so I think that part of the question may be a little bit more fair, but I think they also both come with easy answers, I think. One is the Jags' collapse was way worse, and two, the more pressure is definitely on Napier, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree so. Although their schedule is going to be super, like, I mean, it's so hard. But, yeah, I think the Jaguars' expectations to go to the playoffs, to capitalize off of what occurred the previous year, they didn't do that. So I agree, Jaguars, and I think, I mean, yeah, Billy Napier's on the hot seat.
It's like you think there's more pressure, though, on Doug, right, this year? Then maybe feels like it in town or we're letting on.
Yeah, my biggest thing is that if Trevor Lawrence looks a lot like he did last year and this team doesn't go to the playoffs and you have a 9-win or less season, then yeah, I think there should be pressure on Doug Peterson.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's natural pressure. What I think there's the pressure for Doug is to avoid probably disaster.
Okay.
In terms of his job. That's the way I feel like it right now. Now, that builds a lot in the fall, right? I mean,
sure.
We can, if all of a sudden it's not going well, you're going to build that faster than it probably feels right now. You're going to be like, what are we doing here? You know, what's going on here? And so I do think that can be that way. There was a response to this question. Gators were never expected to amass too much. Jags were going into Cincinnati with the expectation to have the number one seed to hold it. That wasn't a far-fetched thought. Definitely the Jags. And I agree with that. Like, I think there is way more expectation for the Jag last year than the Gators.
I mean, do you think if the Jaguars win seven games, like, Doug Peterson won't be on the hot seat?
I think he might be on the hot seat going into the next year, but I don't know if he's on the hot seat to be fired in January.
No, okay. Let me rephrase this. If the Jaguars win seven games this up-and-coming year, the dialogue in the offseason of the following season is going to be Doug better win right now, or it's going to get not going to be good.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, but it's going to set up for the next year. Like, that might be on the plate right now for Napier.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. Do me a favor and call up the Gators schedule if you can. It's a beast.
Yeah.
In fact, so much so.
Okay, you ready?
Like, here's my question about it, all right, before we go through the schedule, whichever a lot of people have seen it, Gator fans have seen it. But has there been a coach in recent history that is up against it as much as Napier? And the context of it is, he's already had 2 years that people are questioning. He's had this whole Rashada thing. Now he's got a lawsuit with the Rashada thing. He's done some things where they didn't have a special teams coach, and are they doing the right things on offense? And just a lot of questions. The recruiting game, is he recruiting as well? And then there are some wins in there too, but not enough right now. And then you put a lot of pressure in year three of a college coach, and he gets this schedule. So, like, you've got a team that's not like, here we are, we're ready to burst necessarily in 2024, and we can handle this schedule. He's got all this other stuff, trying to get it right, trying to build momentum in a year where they could play better football than they did last year and not win games because of the schedule they have. Look at the schedule they got.
So we got Miami, Samford, Texas A&M at Florida, Florida at Mississippi State, UCF at Florida, Florida at Tennessee.
Here's a stretch, by the way. Florida at Tennessee.
Kentucky at Florida.
Hasn't been good.
Florida at Georgia. Florida at Texas. LSU at Florida. Ole Miss at Florida. And finishing up the season with Florida at Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beast.
Yeah, of course.
It's a beast of a schedule. And now the SEC has become a beast of the schedule all the time.
Means
everything,
more.
Those kind of things, right? Yeah, but yeah. Now, you can argue, I mean, where's UCF in that? Obviously, there's a Samford game early. Miami, where are they? Can you take care of the ACC schools? Florida State's going to dip a little bit, we think. So, I mean, there you can maybe find wins, but you got to play well. Like, you can find wins. But, I mean, you might have to find wins just to get to, like, 500 or be bowl eligible. Like,
sure.
That's a legit thing. So, like, what Mike Norvell did at Florida State was, all right, they're asking questions. I had to clean up a mess. They're asking questions. They're asking questions. The heat's building. And then he boom, took off in that year three and then even more in year four. I just don't know if Napier, who, by the way, had to clean up a little messy stuff with what Mullen left behind on the recruiting trail and other things, had to deal with some stuff. Then they got even messier with the Rashada thing before even the lawsuit came, by the way. That was like they thought that was going to be their quarterback. Wasn't. They do okay in the portal with a guy like Mertz. Like they have some successes, but not enough of them. Defense was awful, and now it's like, okay, time to answer the bell, and oh, by the way, you got to play that schedule. Like, that's totally different than where Florida State and Norvell was. They didn't have to face, like, this schedule, and so that's what I mean by it. It's like, I just feel like Napier, who might be a good, like, he might be the guy, but he might be a guy that never gets a chance to prove it.
Yeah.
Because the deck seems a little stacked against him.
Yeah, but he was brought there to win the SEC championships.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It's a hard schedule. It's a murderer's row, but, like, that's what you're supposed to take on that schedule and win that schedule. That's what you're getting paid for. That's what you went there for. And if you can't get it done, they'll find somebody else that can, or at least attempt to.
Yeah, and I just don't know if maybe on his own doing, by the way, I don't want to acquit him of anything here, responsibility. I just say he didn't get going fast enough to be able to be put in a position to now be like, hey, this is our year. And some of that stuff is very cyclical, right? I mean, you could have a very good football team, and everybody else has a very good football team. There are other years where your team's not even as good, but you're not playing teams that are as good, and you might end up with more wins. That's sports.
Yeah.
Sports can sometimes do that. I just wonder, it just feels like everything is stacked against Napier. And I think the patience is going to run thin. And on top of that, the patience could run thin for, like, Scott Strickland, too, in this situation, if it doesn't work out at Florida. So there's a lot on the line, I think, in Gainesville this year. To that point, it was Duval Gator who asked this question a couple days ago, and I think it brings up some interesting thoughts in my mind. Yeah, the collapse was worse by the Jags. The pressure is definitely on Napier. That doesn't mean the pressure is off Doug. The pressure can build on Doug pretty quick. Pressure builds on coaches fast in the NFL. That's where we want to go first. But here's the deal. I would say almost, and I know what you're going to ask me, like, oh, what if they win four games? We don't think the Jags are going to win just four games or five games. Like, that would be a disaster, and it happens sometimes in the NFL. You get everybody hurt. You can't do anything. But I just would say I don't feel at all that Doug is going to be not here in 2025. Like, I think he is going to have that season. And a lot of that is not just on Doug or my expectation for this football team, but also just on the history of Shad Khan, who seems to be very patient. And if you are going to give Trevor this deal, in part you're giving Trevor this deal to say he's also got the coach and that guy that can be the tandem for however many years. We'll see how long Doug coaches. But this isn't just a buy-in on Trevor. This is a buy-in on Trevor and Doug, where Shad's very committed. And so he's not going to just unravel that thing after the 2024 season, in my opinion, even if it's a lot worse than people anticipate it to be. Now, what is a lot? I don't know. I don't know what that part is. So let's take a timeout. We'll put a bow on the show when we come back. A thought on baseball and some other things here on the Brent and Austin Show, the Action Sports Shacks 24/7 network here on a Tuesday. Again, we'll be at Furniture Source in the Town Center on Thursday. And on Friday, we will be at Best Bet Jacksonville on Monument Road. 1 o'clock today, by the way, we've got some action down south in Fort Myers. Trinity Christian will play in the state final four in Class 3A. Then at 3 o'clock, it's UC and Claremont in softball. And at 5 o'clock, Baldwin in softball as well. And at 7 o'clock, it's JU in the A-Sun tournament. How about that? Every 2 hours, 1, 3, 5, 7. Got some local interest playing on a Tuesday on the Diamond.
Action Sports Jacks 24/7 network.
Well, I hate to say it, but I think the Yankees' patience has paid off for their baseball team. And I say patience. I patience with Aaron Boone and Cashman and everybody wondering, like, hey, they're going to be. I thought they'd be. Wondered if they'd be fired a couple different times over the last couple years. And they stuck with the regime and they've now assembled another pretty good team, it looks like. They're finally playing well. Aaron Judge was awful in April, but he's really hot right now. And Soto's been good for him, not surprisingly, I think. And they're doing all of it without Gerrit Cole. So I just kind of like peek at the standings every now and again in baseball. And I'm like, oh, Yankees are playing really good ball right now.
Yeah.
You know, the Orioles are right there. So they're meeting expectation, tied in the loss column. Cleveland Guardians, 17. How about the Royals? 19 losses, 30 and 19. Nice year so far for the Royals, which some predicted, by the way. Seattle in first place. I think the West has been a little bit more pedestrian than people thought it would be. Texas coming off the World Series, 500, and Houston, 6 games under 500. The Phillies and the Braves have lived up to the hype.
Correct.
I think the Central always is the Central, right? Your division. You got the Brewers in the lead, but it's always like a dogfight or a pillow fight.
however you want to put it. Brewers got a 1.5 game lead right now. And honestly, with all their injuries and everything, I think they're happy to be where they're at. You know, Reds are going to red. I don't know how many years I need to tell people this. All right. I'm a broken record up here, but nobody wants to listen. Oh, they got the bats this year.
My father-in-law might be listening to it right now.
Let him hear it because he needs to hear it too.
I think he's probably saying it with you.
Oh, they got the pitching this year. It just feels different. Does it feel different? Does being 8 games out of first place in the NL Central feel different this year? Is 19-28 feel different? Or is it the same story that we've been talking about the past decade, okay? Some teams are just going to be some teams, and the Cincinnati Reds are just going to be the Cincinnati Reds, okay? There's no rhyme or reason why that is. It's just, it's a fact of life.
There's nothing, there's nobody that has this kind of angst for the Reds like you do.
Correct.
I've never met anybody that has this kind of angst for like a small market basically team. And it's not like they spend money like the Yankees and the Mets and the Cubs and the Red Sox.
Not the small market.
Phillies, the Braves, the Dodgers.
Hey, I'm a Brewers fan. I know about small market, okay? So that ain't going to be an excuse. I'm not even sick and tired of the Reds as a baseball team. I'm sick and tired of how everyone every single year picks the Reds as like their sleeper, sexy kind of team when you have no grounds to do that.
They do have an exciting young team.
Oh, yeah. Brent, they had an exciting young team for the past decade. Eventually, those young teams are going to turn into a little more of an older guy as you trade all those players away.
There's a couple other like kind of interesting things. Like Oakland got playing really well. Like they play in front of nobody.
Yeah.
They're obviously leaving. Mm-hmm. They are 19-30, but that's after losing 8 in a row. So if you go back, they were actually 19-22. Mm-hmm. They'd gotten almost to 500, and now they've hit another slide. So obviously they're not good, but maybe a little better than some people gave them credit for being. The White Sox have stunk this year. Okay, so this is what I'm getting to. First of all, I think you got to applaud the Yankees because their patience. They could have fired Boone. They could have ripped it up, the Cashman stuff. Like, I think they could have easily done it. I'm surprised they almost didn't, and yet it's working. It's working without Garrett Cole. Their pitching's been fantastic. The question is, will they perform in the postseason? They're going to get there. They haven't been able to perform in the postseason. They haven't won a World Series since 2009. That's 15 years, folks. So we'll see if they're able to do it. But they are playing really good ball, and they look like the Soto piece is a really strong piece for them with some of the moves they've made. But what I noticed today, Austin, when I was looking at this, 18 out of the 30 teams in Major League Baseball are under 500. Or 500 or under.
Sure.
And there's like another two of them that are just a game over. Two-thirds of the league is 500 or worse.
Yep. Cream's rising at the top.
What is that? Like, when you see that, what does that say? If we saw that in the NFL, does that mean the parity is really good?
Yeah.
Or do we say, there just aren't many teams. It's very top heavy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of both. I think there's parity between, you know, the mid-tier teams, and you have your teams that are just in another echelon. You know, you have your Orioles, your Yankees. And like, that's the wild thing. I guess like Cleveland might be the one big surprise of a team that's in an echelon that we didn't really, at least I didn't expect.
Well, them and the Royals. Like, I mean,
yeah, the Royals
too. Having just 19 losses, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty legit.
They've been building, though. They do have a lot of young talent.
For sure. But yeah, like the Dodgers are doing their thing. Braves doing their thing. Philly's like...
So the expected teams are doing.
The expected teams are doing what they're expected to do. Yeah.
I don't know if it's good or bad. It's just an observation. Like, I'm not really judging
it. I don't know how to call it. Yeah, I mean, I'm, like, let's see at the All-Star break what we're talking about. You know, I mean, it's... What, you're about 50 games into the season right now? Let's see a little bit of a longer run here and see what teams really do.
Well, here's the deal. You get 7 spots now in the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if two-thirds of the teams are a game above 500 or worse, that leaves like 10 teams out of the 14 that are going to make it that are like significantly above 500 or a few games above.
Sure.
Which could make it for an incredible race for the final few spots.
Yeah.
But it also could make, maybe there's a team that is, everybody's so jammed up that now you can make the trade deadline be very valuable or somebody gets hot. Remember, it was the Braves a couple years ago that came out of nowhere with a couple of moves at the deadline and then got hot to win the World Series.
Yeah.
I forget how much they were back.
Well, I mean, the Diamondbacks essentially did that last year.
That's true. Yeah, so we've seen some late runs.
Oh, yeah. You've seen with the Nationals. I mean, listen, every team, once they make the playoffs, has a shot. You know, like, that's why it could be so interesting in terms of there's going to be a log jam to make that last wild card spot. I mean, there's going to be a battle for it because, you know, history has shown us that just because you're not the 1-2, whatever top seed overall, doesn't mean you can't win a World Series.
Yeah, I think there are teams. Let me just go through this real quick. Like the Blue Jays are just four games under 500, probably still in some kind of mix, even though they're the worst team in the East. And I don't think the Red Sox are good enough, but the Rays might not be. I mean, they might get two teams, they might get four teams out of the division. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Probably not four. Twins, Tigers, right in it. The White Sox are out. Like the White Sox are out of it. The A's, we don't think are going to be in it, nor are the Angels. So there are three teams I would say that are out of it. In the AL, some 50 games into the season. We're almost a third of the way through the season. In the National League, the Marlins are out of it, it looks like.
Thanks for
16
playing.
And 33.
Yeah.
The Reds, to your point, might already be out of it. They're nine games under. And the Rockies are 16 games under. So there's another three teams that are out. So you would say like six teams out of the 30 in the league are pretty much, okay, they're not going to make it. That's it, 20%. Mm-hmm. So the rest is up for grabs with late runs potential. I mean, I'm going to give you some teams that are surprisingly under 500. San Francisco Giants. The Arizona Diamondbacks coming off the World Series. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals, five games under 500. They're actually in fourth place behind the Pirates now. The Mets, five games under. The Houston Astros, six games under. And I think everything else wouldn't be that surprising. So I just think it's wild. And it's funny because we don't talk about Major League Baseball every day. And mm-hmm. I don't even follow it like I used to, probably. You know, we watch it. We watch some games. But I'm just not, like, locked into the standings. And it's funny to do it this way sometimes because you look, like, 3 weeks at a time or 2 weeks at a time. Like, all right, what's the landscape of Major League Baseball? And it's a weird landscape right now. I think it's you're right. The Yankees world in the AL mm-hmm. and the Orioles, and then the Phillies, Braves, and Dodgers.
Yeah.
So there's like five super teams right now, it feels like you could pencil in and bet on. And that leaves a bunch of other teams that you might get in, from your Brewers to maybe the Guardians do make a run. I just don't think there'd be a lot of confidence that they're going to like go to the World Series right now and beat the Orioles or the Yankees.
No, for sure. But once again, history has shown that if you get hot at the right time, anything's possible. And listen, like being a Brewers fan, I've been having a blast watching this team right now on this. What they put out there, despite all the injuries of Devin Williams, arguably one of the best closers in baseball. Has some back injuries. He's going to be out for another couple weeks at least. Christian Yelich has been out, just got back in, picking up where he left off. But, like, to me, and this is why I love baseball and why I enjoy following it, especially a small market team like the Milwaukee Brewers. A couple years ago, the Brewers traded Josh Hader away, and Brewers fans were upset about it. He was the best at the time. He was the best closer in baseball. Dude looked like he had his future ahead of him. Brewers trade him to the Padres for a couple of no-namers. Well, those no-namers eventually got parlayed into arguably right now the MVP of the National League and Wilson Contreras with the Brewers. And then they also parlayed it into a pitcher who right now is 2-0 and I'm sorry, not Wilson, William Contreras, and then also parlayed it to a pitcher as well. And now all of a sudden everyone's like, who's Josh Hader? Because Josh Hader is no longer the best closer in baseball. So I love where at the time, and I was heated too, but baseball is one of those things, man, where if you're that small market team, you build through the farm system, you build through these trades of young, maybe unheard of guys, and you parlay them into something else, and a couple players here, a couple players there, and they're difference maker between being mediocre and making a playoff run. And that's what I think Milwaukee is currently on the threshold of doing right now. And once again, it's what makes the great equalizer in terms of small market teams.
Yeah, it is an interesting way to build it, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But you're right, you can do it in a couple of different ways. Hey, back to the NFL to end the show here for a few minutes. I wanted to get to this. I saw an article today that said, was talking about free agents mm-hmm. and best fits. And I'm not going to do the best fit part, but what I notice is these names are huge, man. Like the names that are still out there in free agency are names like we know, everybody knows, like that are attractive names. Should the Jags make a run at anybody? Will they make a run at anybody? Or like, okay, you're good. You don't need a big name guy still. Like to be here in almost June and these guys be available. Well, I'll give you a name. Xavien Howard. He's on this. Connor Williams, they don't need him. He's a center. He's not going to be. Justin Simmons is still out there. safety. Stephon Gilmore, still out there. Steven Nelson, who I don't necessarily think is a big name. We did have a comp in the mock draft stuff, remember, for him, but he's still out there. Ryan Tannehill, by the way, still out there. Jags aren't interested in him. Dalton Risner, guard, still out there. Adoree Jackson, corner, several corners now, still out there. Calais, still out there. Hasn't retired, by the way. Hunter Renfrow, wide receiver. Emmanuel Ogba.
Now you're getting my attention.
Michael Thomas is still out there. Donovan Smith is still out there. Jan is still out there. I mean, those are some big names with big resumes that here in late May are available to get if you need to add something.
Yeah, I mean, listen, to me it comes down to is Tyus Bowser, or did he go back with the Ravens?
I don't know that.
Okay.
I'd have to check.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if we're talking about quote-unquote big free agent names, I'm for it if it's an edge rusher.
You want the edge.
Everybody else, safety, even secondary, like I get like Lattimore, it was the hot name, but
yeah,
no.
Yeah, that'd be in a trade situation.
No, I mean, give me like Ogba, Yannick Ngakoue, Jerry Hughes, Charles Harris, Shaq Lawson, Marquise Golden, Tyus Bowser. I can't remember if Tyus Bowser ended up signing a new deal with Baltimore or not, but like any of those guys, I'm happy with.
Yeah.
You know? But the other positions, no, like, listen, I get trying to build the secondary depth and breed competition, but there comes to a point where it's far too much, and you have to see what you have at your disposal. And I think the secondary is getting to that point. Now, once again, like, if it's like a Lattimore and you trade for him, then, yeah, obviously you bring him in and he's going to be your day one starter. But if it's not going to be a name like that, I focus on the edge rush, or I'm not concerned about it at all.
Yeah, that was interesting to hear, kind of see you, and then boom, the light bulb goes on the edge rush side. I would, and probably me too. But it's interesting that a lot of corners are out there too, and that nobody's really saying, hey, let's go get them. The Lattimore stuff was hot for a bit, but that was before the draft. And looks like the Jags have their roster at corner. There are some big names, but you know how I feel about this. I say it a lot. Is the name bigger than the game at this point? And in many respects, they are. And we do see guys get signed all the way through the summer as we get closer to camp. And that's actually advantageous for a lot of these veterans. They don't have to participate this time of year.
In fact,
if they all had their way, they'd get signed probably in September.
True.
So I don't have to go to camp either and just get themselves ready to go. Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of going, well, we have to go. Thanks for hanging out with us on the Brent and Austin Show. We made it through, sniffles and all, here on a Tuesday. Well, I did, not you. But we'll be back at it tomorrow here in the Action Sports Shacks 24/7 studios. Big lineup tomorrow, including Cup Day, a week with Action Sports Shacks, and no gate fees presented by Nimdic Buick GMC. Have a good rest of your Tuesday, everybody.